As we get further into the coronavirus epidemic, the impacts of it are obviously very severe and widespread. We're following the health and medical impact of it, but we're also following the financial impact of it as well, which, as you can imagine, and a lot of us are struggling with that ourselves, it's pretty significant, both nationwide and statewide, as well as locally. We've got some new numbers to better understand exactly what the impact is of coronavirus on the state's economy as well as our local economy here in Orange County. And for that, we're joined by Patrick McHugh, who is the senior economic analyst for the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center, part of the North Carolina Justice Center. You can find more on them at ncjustice.org. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us today.
Of course, wish it was under slightly better circumstances.
Yeah, and I wish we could be here in person, but so it goes. So give us the overview on the state level. What is the impact of this on North Carolina in general?
Well, it's been a incredibly rapid negative impact on the state. The number of unemployment insurance filings that have happened just in the last week or 2 weeks is really unprecedented. I mean, we've never seen, certainly not in my experience, this fast of an onset of an economic downturn. And it's really, it's overwhelming the system. I mean, there's a lot of folks saying that they're waiting, 5-8 hours to even file for unemployment insurance. So I think we're unfortunately so early in the real impact of this that it's hard to actually put good numbers on what it even is right now, let alone what it's going to be in a month or 3 months or 6 months. First of all, the actual employment numbers lag by a couple of months. We're not going to see it in sort of the official headline unemployment rate for a little while. And even again, with the new unemployment insurance filings, I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that intend to file, that need to file, that need the support, that haven't even been able to get through the system. And unfortunately, a lot of this really is in some ways just the tip of the iceberg, with the hammer falling on folks in retail and food service and the kind of customer services that are taking the brunt of it at the very beginning of this. But the longer that this drags on, the effects are likely to be felt well beyond just those areas.
From your perspective, or if you can give us a sense of how this compares to the last big downturn in 2008, what's similar and what's not similar?
I think the short answer is there's more that's not similar than is similar, or at least there's a couple of things about it. I'll start with what's not similar, and then we can talk a little bit about what is unfortunately similar. It's the pace with which this is happening. That last downturn, it was a slow building. Eventually hit a crescendo in, sort of mid-2008. But it was a long time in the buildup. And it took the markets a while to realize just how big of a problem they had on their hands with the subprime mortgage bubble. So it was sort of a slow process of unraveling that, the tail end of it, there were some pretty rapid unraveling when, you started seeing big financial institutions run out of cash, run out of liquidity. But it really took, at least a year for that whole process to really play out. Whereas this, you look at the projections, it's been remarkable reading, say, look at what Goldman Sachs is coming out with on a given day. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks ago, they were saying, this is going to trim a couple of percent off of GDP. It's going to be, slower growth than we were expecting. I mean, 2-3 weeks ago, they weren't even projecting a recession. Now you've got serious economists out there saying that this could be worse than the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sitting here projecting that, but that's just to give you a sense of the speed with which folks that study the markets have changed. The rundown in the stock market has been faster than basically anything in modern history. So it's just the speed with which it has happened. I think the things that are unfortunately similar about it is that, just like with the Great Recession, this is really underscoring a lot of the weakness and vulnerability in our long-term economic circumstances. That you have a lot of folks out there that, even though the headline unemployment rate was pretty low, you have a lot of folks out there that have barely, if ever, really recovered in the last 10 years, that wages have been so stagnant and that there's been so little growth of middle-income jobs in the last decade, that you have a lot of folks out there that were just barely scraping by, if that, and so have no financial or economic cushion to fall back on when something like this drops out of the sky. And unfortunately, it's a lot of those folks that are getting hit first. I mean, it's those folks who work in the low-wage service economy that are losing jobs and losing shifts first, and they just don't have any savings to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of folks that are carrying a significant amount of debt into this. And so that was sort of the same thing that happened with the Great Recession is, things were going along and a lot of folks felt like, oh, we're doing just fine. But then as soon as the wheels start to come off, you start to realize just how much debt a lot of people are carrying, just how little liquid assets that most folks have, how hard, you know, how little cushion most families have if they lose a job or, you know, go into a prolonged recession. So just like it's doing with our healthcare system, the coronavirus pandemic is really revealing a lot of the deeper vulnerabilities in our economic system as well.
Speaking with Patrick Pinkeu again, North Carolina Budget and Tax Center, ncjustice.org for more on the North Carolina Justice Center in general. And with that in mind, what have we learned, if anything, from the 2008 crisis and the way we responded to it? I know there was a lot of huge action at the federal level, but not much of that went to the people who needed it most. Given what's happening at the federal level now and what's being talked about at the state and local level, are you seeing us doing a better job or the same or worse when it comes to helping the people who are most in need? And what do those people actually need in terms of assistance?
Mm-hmm. A great question. And I think, unfortunately, you know, the jury remains out on that one. I'd say there's a few things that you can say on the plus side and definitely plenty of work that remains to be done. I mean, one thing that we do have to recognize is at least the bill that passed out of the Senate that's, you know, going to be before the House. One thing that it does appear enough folks at the federal level did recognize is just the magnitude of the response is so much larger than it was from during the Great Recession. You know, the stimulus bill before coming out of the Great Recession was $800 billion. This is $2 trillion. And there were a lot of folks back then that said to the Obama administration, you know, don't even bring anything before Congress that starts with the letter T. It's just a complete non-starter. It is remarkable to see, you know, a lot of folks that, particularly on the conservative side of things, that never want to talk about the government being the backstop for the whole economy, then all of a sudden this drops out of the sky and suddenly folks are willing to open up the federal checkbook. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, at the very least, the initial magnitude of the response is better than it was during the Great Recession. That said, it's not going to be enough. I don't think this one bill is sort of a down payment. And I know it's kind of amazing to consider a $2 trillion bill as a down payment, but this is likely to last, you know, longer than this one infusion of support is going to address. And I think this is one of those things that, you know, if we want to talk about some of the lessons that remain a little bit unlearned, is where the money is going with this. There's definitely a lot that could have been done better. Yeah. So for example, the single biggest tranche of money in that, $500 billion, is really aimed at propping up big corporations and big industries. There's very little in the way of hard limitations on how those corporations can, the type of behavior that they're allowed to engage in if they accept this bailout. So there's some limitations on their ability to do, you know, stock buybacks and things like that, but it's not nearly as robust as it should be. So that's another thing where, you know, we could have done, we could have learned a little bit more about making sure that industries that come to the federal government in times of crisis are held accountable to treating their workers in a certain kind of way, and to not go back to business as usual the second that that they're out of trouble. It is worth noting. I mean, the thing that folks need, honestly, more than anything else, is just cash in their pockets, particularly people that don't have savings, that are losing jobs right now, or maybe furloughed for a long period of time. And the biggest thing they need is cash in their pockets. And so there is, in this bill, there's some good provisions that bolster unemployment insurance and that involve direct cash payments to individuals. There again, I think it in some ways underscores what we haven't learned more than what we have learned, because one of the challenges right now is that we never really built a system, particularly in states like North Carolina, that, you know, our unemployment insurance system is just so woefully inadequate to really replace wages. I mean, we have one of the stingiest in terms of maximum amount of benefit and duration of benefits in the country. We're one of the absolute worst. And so when a time like this comes along, you have a system that isn't set up to both make families whole when they lose a job, but also, I mean, unemployment insurance is a form of supporting individuals, but it's also a form of economic stimulus. It's how you keep the economy moving when a bunch of folks lose jobs, because we're a consumer demand driven economy. So you've got to keep money flowing into people's pockets so that they can keep spending it in the economy. So it's good that the federal government is stepping in and boosting some of the unemployment insurance and providing some payments to individuals. But in some ways, it really just underscores the fact that we just don't have a system that's set up to protect individuals and to protect the economy when the winds start blowing.
Speaking with Patrick McCune, we should start wrapping up, but before we do, bring it locally. I remember after the 2008 crash, talking about the impact of all of that in Orange County, and there were so many people saying, well, Orange County is going to take a hit, but we're mostly recession-proof because we've got the university and we've got the healthcare system that are driving the local economy. Well, now, today in 2020, the university's closed, the students are off campus, and the hospitals are either overwhelmed or potentially going to be in the very near future. So what does all of this mean for us here in this community?
Well, and I think you're absolutely right to point out some of the distinctions between how the Great Recession hit communities like Chapel Hill and Orange County and Durham. And, you know, this one's going to be quite different. And again, you know, think about, a lot of the university, a lot of the jobs associated with it, a lot of the economic activity associated with it comes from students being in town and spending money in the local economy. Well, if those folks aren't in town, or if they're in town but can't go out and, go to bars and restaurants and go see shows and go do, all those sorts of things around town that provide so many of the jobs, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt a lot. So this one is going to be different than the last time around. I mean, I don't think any place is recession-proof to this kind of downturn. And I think it's also worth noting that, we just don't really know what the long-term consequences of this are going to be. It's really unclear at this point how long the recession is actually going to last. And a lot of that will come down to how continuous and robust and effective the federal and state responses. As I said, this first bill is a good start, but it's not going to pull us all the way out of it. So I think you're going to see probably a longer tail to this, a longer negative consequence to it that could hit housing markets, that could hit industries well beyond just the consumer services that are the first ones, particularly in towns like Chapel Hill, to take it in the teeth.
Again, ncjustice.org for more on the North Carolina Justice Center. More economic numbers and county-by-county level numbers at ncjustice.org/labor market. Patrick McHugh, as always, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Well, stay well out there.